Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So maybe there weren't any gaffes in last night's debate that were laugh-out-loud funny, accidental humor. But this political season, it seems like humor has played a more mainstream role in the narrative of the candidates. Actually, there probably were some. Who wrote this? There probably were some laugh-out-loud moments last night. But two humorists partially responsible for this are James Downey, veteran writer at Saturday Night Live for 30 years, and Andy Borowitz of The Borowitz Report and columnist at The New Yorker. They both join us now. Andy, welcome back. James, thanks for coming on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. It's great to be here.
All right, James, I'm going to throw this comment at you right away from our comments page on the debate, where somebody wrote, "For all the people complaining about the Sarah Palin low expectations, blame Saturday Night Live and Tina Fey. Republicans are the ones laughing now."
Well, I'm not sure how much Republicans should be laughing, but I mean, it's certainly Tina Fey did have an awful lot to do with the low expectations. I'm not sure how much the public really adopted those low expectations. Because to judge from the reaction, it seems like people didn't think that she did better, slightly better than expected, but that so did Biden. And it's sort of a wash, unless I'm hearing from a strange group of people.
I'm sure you're hearing from a strange group of people,
yes,
but they might be right. Andy Borowitz, did you get material from last night?
Well, there was a real game-changing moment, I thought. I thought there was a big game changer. It was when Sarah Palin corrected Joe Biden on the phrase, "drill, baby, drill." Because if you don't know the sarcastic chant of your opponent, how can you be president? He's clearly not qualified.
You're right. Now, here is a clip of, let's see, this is a little bit of Tina Fey with, Tina Fey, the real Sarah Palin with the real Katie Couric, and then Tina Fey's version.
That's why I say I, like every American I'm speaking with, we're ill about this position that we have been put in, where it is the taxpayers looking to bail out. But ultimately, what the bailout does is help those who are concerned about the health care reform that is needed to help shore up our economy, it's got to be all about job creation, too, shoring up our economy and putting it back on the right track. So health care reform and reducing taxes and reining in spending has got to accompany tax reductions and tax relief for Americans. And trade, we've got to see trade as opportunity, not as a competitive, scary thing, but 1 in 5 jobs being created in the trade sector today. We've got to look at that as more opportunity.
Like every American I'm speaking with, we are ill about this. We're saying, hey, why bail out Fannie and Freddie and not me? But ultimately, what the bailout does is help those that are concerned about the health care reform that is needed to help shore up our economy, to help. It's got to be all about job creation, too. Also, to shoring up our economy and putting Fannie and Freddie back on the right track. And so health care reform and reducing taxes and reining in spending, because Barack Obama, you know.
It was almost verbatim, James.
Well, I mean, I didn't write that particular piece, although I was a big fan of it. But I noticed that the laugh points are the things that Tina introduces into it. I think she was. I'll bet she was probably doing it from memory of the interview, and was just recapturing that kind of frantic effort to get in every possible term that sounds like an issue. But like I say, it was. What made it funny was what she brought to it that was different.
Yeah. You know, back in March, Tina Fey said of Jon Stewart that he gets more people to clap than to laugh. And I thought that was really telling. I mean, on The Daily Show, a lot of it that he's trying to make a point and point out the absurdity of hypocrisy in real events in a way that, for whatever reason, they don't do that much on the straight news.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Stewart, and I've liked the show from the beginning. He's always been very consistent in his politics, and no one could accuse him of being trendy or finger to the wind in that sense. And I've had a discussion with him about I don't think he's crazy about applause as opposed to laughter too. It's something that that arose at some point. I think it might have succeeded the Arsenio Hall kind of dog pound kind of thing, and it's. It used to drive me crazy when people would applaud rather than laugh. I guess they feel that laughter takes too much effort or something, and they want to give you a signal that they think it's funny. But it can also, the problem is that real laughter is impossible to fake, but fake applause sounds just like the real thing.
Interesting. Andy Borowitz on the Borowitz Report this morning, your phone news blog. The headline was, Palin's debate performance sponsored by Mad Libs.
Yeah, well, you know, there is a certain kind of fill-in-the-blanks quality to most of her answers. And at least she was honest enough at one point in sort of her straight-talking, doggone-it way to say that she was not going to answer any of the questions. I thought that was sort of a new vanguard in politics, where somebody comes out and says, you know what, you know, the moderator may not like it and you may not like it, but I'm not going to answer any of the questions. And I found actually, you know, in both of her interviews with Charlie Gibson and with Katie Couric, I felt bad for them because it was like they were interviewing, you know, a magic eight ball. I mean, she really has like three answers, and they're usually kind of reply hazy, try again later in that variety.
Who's easier to make fun of, a blank slate like Sarah Palin, or somebody who is, you know, who has filled in the blanks so many times that it's all just a bunch of blackout now, like Joe Biden?
Is that to me?
Andy, you can take that.
Sure.
Well, you know, I don't actually think Sarah Palin's a blank slate anymore. I think we know her pretty well. She reminds me a little bit of another Tina Fey production, Mean Girls, actually, is the one that I'm thinking of. There's a lot of talk about how likable she is. I would love it if somebody could explain to me what I'm supposed to like about Sarah Palin. She is extremely unqualified, stupid, and sarcastic. And as a combination, I find that very odious. I thought she was sort of stupidly sarcastic, not clever, and ill-informed, and terrifying.
We should just make clear that it appears that you have moved out of your role as a humorist and into your role as an editorial writer.
That's true. But I've got to say it. I think she's. I didn't find all the doggone it's in the world did not make her likable to me.
You don't find it likable when she's winking at you?
Nope. No. Not at all. Not at all, Joe. Do you mind if I call you Joe? By the way,
you can. I will. You know, go by any name you want, and you can call me any name you want. James, is it
yes.
hard to do Barack Obama? There was a lot of talk in the comedy world earlier this year about how you can't do Barack Obama, how it's too sensitive to do Barack Obama because people will get offended, which I never believed. But how has this been for you?
Well, it's funny. When you said blank slate, Obama himself was similar in the sense that he came out of nowhere. That's one of the things. He doesn't have much of a history to mine for material. But it's also that he's a very smooth character. If you were rock climbing and he was the rock face, he'd be obsidian. You know, there's just nothing to grab onto. And, he's probably the most elegant and smooth candidate in politics. I think you'd have to go back to JFK, who I barely remember anyway. And he just simply does not give you much to work with. I've heard that from just about everyone I know who more or less does this for a living. There's amazing unanimity on that. It's not like people are conspiring to protect him. It's hard to come up with something.
Yeah. Giovanni in Manhattan does have something good to say about Tina Fey's acting. I mean, Tina Fey, about Sarah Palin's acting. Giovanni?
Yes, you know, thank you, by the way, Brent.
Yeah.
You know, when I was watching the whole thing, I thought she did a remarkable imitation of Tina Fey. Just think of it. She was bright-eyed, she was winking, she was laughing, and some of her answers were so uncoordinated, I thought, she was great.
Tina Fey may sue her for plagiarism, is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. She did a great imitation.
Giovanni, well, thank you.
They've had a roughly equal amounts of airtime in the last couple of weeks, at least the shows I watch. So,
well, you know, I mean, you're making a joke, and we're almost out of time, but, you know, there are two groups of people who I've heard from regarding both the debates so far, those who were hanging on every word and those who said, you know, these debates were pretty boring and tuned out after part of them. And I wonder if those people are so spoiled by Saturday Night Live and The Daily Show kind of dominating the discourse this year that they expected the debates themselves to be as entertaining. But we're going to have to leave that thought there because the New Yorker Festival panel tomorrow, 4 p.m. at Cathedral NYC, will feature my two guests, among others, James Downey from Saturday Night Live and Andy Borowitz from The Borowitz Report. It is sold out, but they will be releasing some tickets just before the event tomorrow at 4. We've linked to it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.